Lord, we've just sung our heart's expression of praise to you. To God be the glory. Great things you have done. And Jesus, we can never thank you enough for what you have done on our behalf. But we praise you today. And we want you to know, Jesus, that we belong to you. We are your servants. And yet, there's another analogy that you give to us, and that is that you adopt us in your family. We become your very sons and daughters. And what a joy it is to be able to call on your name. And as we just sung moments ago, to sing Abba, Father, and in confidence come before your throne. We praise you, Lord. We thank you for your tender mercies and your love and your kindness. We're thankful that your mercies are new every morning. And God, we just humbly come before you today, confessing our need for you. We need you, Lord. God, I pray, would you just minister to the needs of this local church, this congregation? Lord, you see these that have gathered at the front this morning. You know the burden on their heart today that they're bringing to you even right now. And I just pray on their behalf, would you hear and answer prayer? Give them grace, God. Lift them up. Meet the need of their heart today. And whatever their heart's cry is, we just pray, would you especially intervene on their behalf, God. And Lord, for each person here today, I know there's many here that are carrying heavy burdens. There's family members that some are burdened for today. And we just lift those family members to you and pray, would you draw them close to yourself? Lord, there's some here today that there's relational conflicts that they're dealing with. And I pray, would you give them grace and minister to them? Others have physical needs. I pray, would you bring healing to those that need healing? Those that need a touch with their finances, we pray, would you provide for their every need? But God, strengthen our faith in you in the midst of all the things that life throws our way. May our faith in you only strengthen. We're depending on you, Jesus. Lord, we especially want to bring to you Elise Crook this morning, as she's back in the hospital again this morning with these issues with her hip. We lift her to you today, and we just ask, would you have mercy on her and give the doctors wisdom as they're trying to figure out what to do. Lord, we just pray for Elise. Would you just minister grace to her, and also to Tim and Angie, God. We just pray, would you lift them up today as well and minister to them. We pray for Lee Mann and his family, Lord. We just pray, would you touch Brother Mann and just minister to him today as well. Lord, we think of Daniel Melton, and he's going to be actually joining us next Sunday night. But Lord, he's on the mission field right now, and he expressed that they've got a surgical team going right now and tomorrow as well. And we just pray, would you bless their efforts as they minister to people with physical needs? Lord, would you also give them opportunity to talk about you and give them the gospel? We just pray, would you build your kingdom there and just anoint Brother Melton and the team there and minister to them. And then, Lord, we just lift to you our country. And we pray, would you help us here in America? We pray, would you have mercy on us and grace? Lord, would you lead us as a nation, oh God? We pray for President Trump and Vice President Pence. Give them wisdom. Lead them. Lead all of our nation's leaders, Lord. We just pray for your direction in our country. And Lord, we just would especially want to remember Steve Jarvis, part of our own congregation, and he's running for Senate. God, we just pray, would you give special help to Brother Steve? And we just pray, would you blaze the trail in front of him, God? And whatever attacks he may face, we just pray, would you sustain him and protect him? And we just ask, would you continue to use him within our nation, Lord? And we just pray, would you raise up more righteous men just like him to serve? But God, we just surrender ourselves to you. We give you this local church. And God, I pray, would you lead us in your ways? In the name of Jesus, we pray. Everybody said, amen. You may be seated. Thank the Lord.
Couple quick announcements. Just want to remind all of us of this morning. There will be choir practice tonight at 4:30, so want to make sure we keep that in mind. Also, many of us have mailboxes, and for those of you that aren't aware of that, we do. We have them at the back as you're leaving. They're on the right-hand side, and so if you would, don't forget to check those. If you attend here regularly, we sometimes put some really important stuff in there, and if you would, make sure you avail yourselves of that. Also, we have a youth calendar that's going to be coming out. Hopefully, I'll have it here maybe sometime today, this evening. And so, young people, keep that in mind. A lot of fun is going to happen this year. And some ministry events are planned as well. And then also tonight, we're having communion. And that is just going to be a really special time. So make sure you come out again tonight for that. That's a means of grace as well, a means of drawing closer to Jesus. So at this time, we'll get the ushers, if you guys would come. And for those of you that are new here, we welcome you to Faith Chapel. We're glad you joined us. And if you would, you should have gotten a bulletin when you came in. If you just, there's a contact card there. If you've never been here, if you would, fill that out. And we'd just love to stay in touch with you. And we'll connect with you after the service. Gentlemen, go ahead and pass the plates. Thank you so much for your giving.
Yes, he is. That's right. That's right. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Listen to a preacher this morning, and he come across real good. Rejoice. I tell you what really does the clincher. Gives us that relationship.
Yes. Yes. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Okay, folks, it's a real thing.
Mm-hmm.
It really is not just going to a form or emotion or whatever. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
What God is doing.
Yes.
Now listen, folks, I do want to tell you this. I don't always feel every day.
Right.
I'll tell you why. I made a mistake in drink. Harder than drink. Friday night. And you know, I rolled and rolled in bed till I when I got up, I really didn't feel
like
I forced myself to get into the Word. God knows when you don't feel good.
Sure.
Praise God, later on in the day I was trying to work on some
sure.
You know, He cares, and He'll even help you when you need Him.
Yes, that's right.
Amen.
Yes.
I just can't get over Him, and I'm not trying to get over Him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm satisfied with Him.
Yes.
And I plan on keeping the relationship till I leave this world.
Yeah, amen.
Praise
amen.
God.
Amen.
Good servant.
Amen. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Whether I feel good or bad, I will bless the Lord at all times. Amen? Praise the Lord. Sing this little chorus. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to I love Him so. I love Him so. I love Him so. He's so good to me. Amen. We bless His name this morning. Miller sisters are coming. They're going to say the Miller singers. I guess it's both. They're going to come and sing for us at this time. Let's just continue to mind the Lord this morning and open our hearts to His word.
Shatters all your dreams, and your hopes have been cruelly crushed by Satan's manifested schemes. And you feel the urge within you to submit to earthly fear. Don't let the faith you're standing in seem to disappear. Praise the Lord, He can work through those who praise Him. Praise the Lord, for our God inhabits praise. Praise the Lord, for the chains that seem to bind you serve only to remind you that they drop powerless behind you. We are paupers when He knows Himself we're children of the King. So lift up the mighty shield of faith, for the battle must be won. We know that Jesus Christ is risen, and the work's already done. Praise the Lord, He can work through those who praise. praise the Lord for the chains that seem to bind you. Serve only to remind you that they draw powerless behind you when you praise Him. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
He can work through those who praise Him. Praise the Lord. For our God inhabits praise. Praise the Lord. For the chains that seem to bind you serve only to remind you that they draw powerless behind you when you praise Him. When you praise Him. When you praise Him. When you praise.
Thank you for that reminder in song that even when life is difficult and we may not feel like praising the Lord, if we call upon Him, rejoice in what He has done, there's no telling what He's going to do in the future for those who praise Him. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, it's a beautiful Sunday morning, and I've heard that the groundhog has declared that it's going to be a short winter. Anybody else hear that? That's not biblical truth. That's just Puxtatani Phil or whatever his name is. But anyway, we used to live in Pennsylvania, so that was a big tradition up there. And a lot of horrible things make the news, so I guess it's okay if a groundhog makes the news these days. At least that's better than some of the news we've been hearing. So, and if he is right and winter's short or winter is shortened, that's great too. I'm ready for spring, as I'm sure maybe some of you are as well. But I thank the Lord for the sunshine. And most importantly, I thank the Lord for the S-O-N shine, sunshine in my heart today. If you have your Bibles, turn to Galatians chapter 6. Last week, we talked about creating healthy boundaries. And I'll be honest with you, I recognize the fact that we are asking all of us to go deep in a subject and in a direction that may be a little bit difficult or maybe a lot difficult to understand. Boundaries, and we used a fence as kind of our graphic illustration of boundaries. Boundaries are somewhat viewed as negative things in our lives, or negative things in other people's lives. When you put up a boundary, it's like you put up a line and don't cross it or I'm going to fight you. And so maybe when you think about boundaries and you compare them to what we should be as Christians who love the Lord and love our enemies and love our neighbor as ourselves, the idea of love and boundaries don't always mix, at least in our minds. But over the next few weeks, I want to look at some biblical expressions of boundaries and understand boundaries in a biblical way. But there may be some of you ask this question, are boundaries even biblical at all? Is the idea that you can say no to someone or say no to a circumstance, is that biblical? Is it biblical to say no? And if you remember last week, and I won't review the whole message, you can get online and watch that or view that if you'd like. But last week I said, if we say yes to God, then that means we're going to say no to some things. If we say yes to God, we're going to have to say no to temptation. If you agree with that this morning, would you say amen?
Amen.
If you say yes to God, you're going to have to say no to some of those influences that'll pull you away from God. If you agree with that, would you say amen?
Amen.
I believe that in this passage we're going to see an example of boundaries, but it may not be evident at first. So in your Bibles, Galatians chapter 6, I'm going to read the first 10 verses of this chapter. And it's going to be familiar to many of you, but I want to read it again and I want us to study it together. I'm reading from the New King James Version this morning, and we'll begin at verse 1 of Galatians chapter 6. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass or in a fault or in a sin, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Some translations use the word meekness. Considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Verse 2, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one of us examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For, verse 5, each one shall bear his own load. Or if you're reading from the King James, it actually says, each one shall bear his own burdens. Verse 6, let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. That's a very familiar passage to us. Keep reading verse 8. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Hallelujah. And let us, that's not fruit or vegetables, just let us, sorry, just to see if you're awake this morning. Got a groan from the second row over here. Let us not grow weary in doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart or if we faint not. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. I'm going to put a statement on the screen this morning, and I want to see if you agree with it. I believe that Christians should be willing to help others with their problems. How many of you would agree with this? Say amen. Amen. We just read a whole passage about bearing one another's burdens. Of course we're going to agree with this. Christians, mature followers of Jesus Christ, should be willing and ready to help others who have burdens to bear. Tell you a quick story. There was a pastor that I heard about living out in the western part of the United States, and every year he would take his family on a vacation, he and his wife, and they had several children. And they would go to the northern part of California, and they would find a place out in the wilderness. This is their form of fun, you know, away from civilization, away from the comforts of showers and running water and things like that. And they would camp, or they would just have a grand time vacationing together. And one year, they decided to go to Lake Tahoe. I've never been to Lake Tahoe. The only Tahoe I know about is, some of you may drive a car that's named Tahoe. It's a big lake out there, and around the rim of the lake is a trail. It's called the Tahoe Rim Trail. The trail is 160 miles long. It takes many, many days to hike that trail. They decided, just for fun, and I'm laughing because this doesn't seem like fun to me, but anyway, just for fun, they would take their older children, and he and his wife, they would go to the rim trail around Lake Tahoe, and they would hike at least 30 miles of this trail. And they planned it all out, and they had several different camping spots, and they knew they'd be on the trail for 3 days, and maybe 4 days and three nights, I think it was. So they had tents, and they got loaded down with their backpacks, and they were ready to go. Now, Bruce and Cindy would probably love this, but, you know, this is their form of fun and enjoyment. They began hiking on the trail, and the first day went really well. They camped that night, and their tents worked great, and everything was fine. They had just a wonderful time being together as a family in this hiking trip. But on day number 2, their daughter, Hannah, started to have some troubles. In fact, she kind of started to just shut down a little bit. She got so weary of the hike that finally she just collapsed beside the trail. Well, immediately the rest of the family stopped, and they propped her up, and they stuck her on found a place for her to sit on a rock or whatever, and they gave her something to eat and something to drink, and they waited a few moments while she rested. She began to feel a little bit better, and so they said, well, let's keep on going. So Hannah got up, and she had her backpack. Everybody had their backpacks. They kept hiking, but they didn't go very far when she stopped again. This time, she didn't necessarily collapse, but she said, I can't go much farther. I've got to stop. Well, they were starting to get worried. They began to try to figure out where they are in the course of the trail, and they were about 5 miles from the nearest campsite. So they took a longer time this time to let her rest, and they began to talk to her, make sure she was thinking clearly. They weren't sure. They were fearful about what was going on with her physically and medically. She perked back up about 30 minutes later or so, and they said, let's keep going. The dad of the group, this pastor, he's getting a little worried because he knows that if they have to stop every few minutes and let her rest for 15 or 20 minutes, they're never going to get there before nightfall. He's also worried that whatever she's facing is going to get worse. And so here's what he did. When she stood back up and she's getting ready to go with him down the next portion of the hike, he said, you know what, guys, let's do something. He said, Hannah, let me have your backpack. He took the backpack off of her back and he handed it to one of the other family members. And then he and one of the other family members got on each side of her and they began to walk with her down that trail. And every few minutes, they'd have to stop a little bit. And every little while, they'd have to let her rest. And they would have to feed her some power bars and some water and all the stuff that they felt like she needed. And slowly but surely, together as a group, they got Hannah down off the mountain, down away from the rim to the next place where they were to stop, the next camp. And they were able to get her food and sustenance and a place to rest. Come to find out, there wasn't anything major wrong with her. She just had not eaten well that morning. And because of the newness of the hike and away from the normal routines of life, she hadn't eaten well, and so her body was just basically shutting down because she was exerting all the energy of hiking, and basically she was weary and completely exhausted. You and I both know that if we would have been on that hike and Hannah was collapsed beside the trail, we would have stopped. We would not have kept on hiking and say, I hope you make it. We'll see you at the next stop. No, we would have stopped, right? Would you have stopped? Say amen. All of us would have. And even when it was difficult, you know, to get her up off that rock where she had been sitting and resting, we would have volunteered and taken turns, one on one side, one on the other, getting her, you know, by the shoulder, by the arm, and putting our arm around her. We would have, it could be life and death. We would have done our best to get her down off that mountain, right? Furthermore, it makes perfect sense for her dad to reach over there and grab her backpack, which is filled with all the stuff you need for a hike. And I know this is unfair, but to take that backpack off her back and give it to maybe his son, who already has his own backpack, and now he's got two backpacks to carry, double the weight, we get that, right? It's an emergency. It's a difficult situation. And to take the load or the burden off of someone else and someone else volunteer to carry it, that makes perfect sense. And the truth is, that's what's happening in this passage of Scripture. Now, we'll get to the boundary part in just a minute. But I want to go through these verses and I want to unpack this a little bit. In verse number one, we see an admonition to us that if we have a brother or sister in the Lord who is taken in a sin, we are to stop and we are to care for them and we are to help them be restored in their relationship with God. Aren't you glad that we serve a God who is a God of restoration? A God who just doesn't leave us off by the side of a trail somewhere and say, I hope you make it to the next stop. In fact, this is the function of the body of Christ. For each one of us, not only to be selfish and say, I'm thankful my sins are forgiven, we are to be looking at others and say, you know what? Can I help you in your relationship with God? This is why evangelism is a heartbeat for Christians, because we want people to experience the same forgiveness and love and joy and peace that we have in Christ Jesus. God is a God of restoration. And what we see here in verse number 1 of chapter 6, the more mature you are as a Christian, the longer you are walking with the Lord, the stronger you are in your faith, the more responsibility you have to be a part of the process of reconciliation. Now, let me just stop here for a moment and say this. This is a side note. Our God doesn't force reconciliation. Reconciliation is a mutual choice. And when you're talking about relationships and two people who are at odds with each other, and there's a division that takes place, you and I both know that sometimes that division, that difficulty lasts for a very long time. In fact, you and I, as an onlooker to a situation, we might say, why don't y'all just get together? You both seem to love the Lord. You both want to do what's right. And yet you have this impasse. You have this division. Why don't you just get together? After all, God is a God of reconciliation. Come on, get with the program. But while God is a God of reconciliation, God never forces his will on us. This is where our free moral agency comes in. This is where we have the ability to choose to follow God. We all have that choice to make. And also, we have the choice to make in our own relationships, whether we're going to prioritize them, whether we're going to reconcile with them. And if you are in a position or in a relationship that's difficult and divided and there needs to be reconciliation, let me just tell you, your responsibility isn't to demand that the other person reconcile with you. Your responsibility is to make sure you're ready. At whatever point in time God allows it to happen, at whatever point in time the other person is ready, before God, you're ready for reconciliation. Because you're not responsible for them. You're only responsible for you. But then we read verse 2 and we come across this passage that is very familiar and yet it's also somewhat misunderstood. Paul's writing here and he says, bear one another's burdens. Well, this is a great passage, especially if you're going through a difficult time in your life and someone comes alongside of you and they help to bear your burdens. If you've ever had that happen, what a comfort and a peace to know my brothers or my sisters in the Lord, that they have love for me and concern for me, and they're going to help bear my load. This young girl that we talked about on this hike, I'm sure she didn't want to be a burden to everybody else. I'm sure she wanted to go on the hike and have as much enjoyment as everybody else. But because of the circumstances of her life and the circumstances of her physical need, it was impossible. She collapsed. Aren't you glad that when we collapse, there are others who help us move on down the trail? That's what this passage is talking about. And not only is it a privilege to be on the receiving end of help, there is great joy in reaching over and helping a person carry their load. And I know maybe you haven't experienced this very much, or maybe you've not stepped out of your comfort zone to do this very much, but there is great reward. And I'm not talking about financial or other tangible rewards. I'm talking about spiritual rewards. When you reach out and you shoulder a load to help someone through a rough time in their life, God rewards your spirit. There is a joy that comes in serving others. It is a wonderful thing to be used in bearing the burdens of others. This is how we fulfill the law of Christ. Verse 3 is also very important, because it gives us this perspective. We should not think more highly of ourselves than who we really are. We should never come to the realization that, hey, all I'm going to do in my life is help other people. Because just around the corner is going to be a burden or a tragedy or a difficulty in your life. And guess what? There are going to be times in your life and mine when we're going to need other people to help us with our burdens. It's not just about us helping others. We are going to be on the receiving end at some point in our life. And the Bible is very clear. Don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to. Don't think you're something when you are actually nothing. And then verse 4, I'm just working down through this passage here, is a directive to us that we are to be very careful to monitor and understand ourselves. We are to, it says here, we are to examine our own work. Or one other translation says we are to test our own work. Guess what? We should be constantly looking at ourselves to say, am I helping like I should be helping? Am I participating as a fully functioning member of the body of Christ? Am I helping to bear the burdens of other people's lives? If you are, then you're receiving the rewards of following and serving Jesus. Verse number 2 is a command for us. Bear one another's burdens. It's not an option. It's not something we can just write off and say, well, that's for other people to do. No, verse 2 is a command. Bear one another's burdens. But then when we come to verse 5, we get another command. This is the second command in this passage of Scripture. And it's a little bit difficult to put these two together because verse 2 says, bear one another's burdens. And verse 5 says, you should bear your own burdens. Or the King James says burdens, but if you look at the Greek of this passage, it's two different words. So most translations, like the New King James or the ESV, they will use a term like this. Each one should bear his own load. Verse 2 is a command. Bear one another's burdens. We're to do that. But verse 5 is also a command. We are responsible for our own load. Does that seem like a contradiction to you? Does that seem a little difficult to you? Because it seems to me, if I'm going to follow this passage of Scripture, I got to bear my own load. I got to put my own backpack on, and I got to move down the trail. And then whenever I come up against somebody else who's collapsed on the side of the road, I'm to pick up their backpack and move on down the trail. And maybe I find someone else a few hours later, and I pick up that backpack. Pretty soon, can you see the picture? I'm bearing my load and their load and their load and their load, and it's a wide load at that point. It's a difficult load. What is this passage talking about here? Everyone should bear his own load. This passage is talking about our responsibility for ourselves. This passage is talking about not only our viewpoint of others, but also our viewpoint of ourselves. We are responsible for our own spiritual well-being. We're responsible for our own financial well-being. We're responsible for, as much as we can, our own emotional well-being. We're responsible to make sure that we're doing what we can to be a fully devoted follower of Christ. We're responsible to carry our own load. And even though this is an apparent contradiction, it actually is a full view of what being a part of the body of Christ is all about. There's going to be times when we have the privilege and the opportunity to help someone else. There's going to be other times when we know we're walking through life carrying the burdens that God has given us to bear in our own mind, in our own life. Verse 7 talks about sowing and reaping, talking about the person that has been caught in sin, who is restored. And just a side note here, and you all know this, but when a person sins, they can experience the forgiveness of God. Praise the Lord for that. But it doesn't change the fact that while here on this earth, even though their eternity might be in Christ and they have been fully forgiven by God, the reality of the consequences of their sin are going to stay with them. Whatever they sow, that will they also reap. And that's something that's in this passage of Scripture, and that's part of bearing your own load. When you have been saved from a life of sin, your heart is rejoicing because of the forgiveness of God. It's powerful. It's wonderful. It sets you on the track for heaven, and God's presence is with you on this earth. But you and I both know we can look back at decisions in our life, and part of the load that we have to bear is the consequences of those decisions. Yes, the sin is forgiven. Yes, I'm in a position where I am in a full relationship with Jesus Christ. But sometimes I bear in my own life the marks of the life of sin. Sometimes I bear in my own relationships the results of a life of sin. Don't be discouraged by this. Don't be discouraged, because all of us can receive the forgiveness of God, who gives us grace, gives grace to the humble. This is a reality of a Christian walk. But it doesn't change the fact that all of us have to deal with our past and with our sin and with our choices and with our decisions. But verse 8 is also, while it's negative, it's also positive. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but praise the Lord, he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And when you start in your relationship with God, guess what? You begin to sow new seed, fresh seed, seed that leads to life everlasting with God the Father and Jesus Christ. Let's take a step back from this passage, and I want to discuss a couple of things. Number one, it looks to me like, and I'm sure you would see this as well, there's going to be some burdens in your life that are meant to be shared. As much as we don't want to collapse, as much as we don't want to be helpless, you and I are going to have something happen at some point in our life when we're going to need the help of our brothers and sisters in the Lord. And in those moments, we need someone to step up and share the burden. It may be a tragedy. It may be the death of a loved one. It may be a job loss. It may be an emotional meltdown. And we can't explain it and we can't understand it, but those around us see it, and guess what? By God's grace, they step up. And they pick up this part of our life, and they pick up this part of our life. And it's not that they're going to do it forever, but they've got to get us down off the mountain where we can restore and rejuvenate and rest. So there's going to be some burdens in your life. As much as you like to be self-sufficient and do everything yourself, there's some burdens that are meant to be shared. And then, according to this passage, there's some burdens that are meant to be shouldered. You just got to put that pack on and keep going. And because of our choices in the past, and because of the way we've lived our life, because of the sin that we've all committed, our backpack and our shouldered burdens are going to look a little bit different. But they're burdens that we have to bear. There's going to be memories that crop up at the most inopportune times. And the devil is vicious at this. He loves to not only tempt us with sin, but he loves to tempt us with our own memories. And if he can't get you to sin, then he'll get you to be discouraged because of the sin you once committed. He's evil. He's wicked. And those memories pop up in those times when you're just rejoicing in the goodness of God and things are going well, and all of a sudden you're hit with a 2x4 load. It seems like wham. And you remember, oh, yeah, I did do that, didn't I? And all of a sudden, we're faced with another temptation. It's the temptation to give up. It's the temptation to be discouraged. It's the temptation to say, oh, I don't know. I don't know if I can do this. Let me just tell you, on the confidence of God's word, you can do this. He will not give you more than you are able to bear. And yet, at the same time, we must recognize there are things that we have to bear. Yes, there will be times when we need others to help share our burdens, but there's also going to be times when we got to shoulder our own burden and keep walking down the trail. And then thirdly, I believe, at least according to this passage, there are some burdens that are meant to be shed. There are going to be some things in our lives that are just going to be impossible for us to bear, and we just have to give them to the great burden bearer, God himself. Everyone is to carry his own load. Everyone is to help others. But aren't you glad for a God who is capable of taking the burdens that we are just seem like floored with, the burdens that press down upon us? Our God is capable of handling those things. And the Bible says, let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. We will reap life everlasting with God the Father and God the Son and the Holy Spirit if we can remain faithful to his word and faithful to following him. Here's the problem, though. And you might say, what does this passage have to do with boundaries? Well, what do you do with people who don't want to bear their own load? What do you do with people who want to take advantage of the kindnesses of others? What do you do when people try to pass off their load as a burden that they want everyone else to bear? This is where it gets complicated. This is where it gets difficult. This is where you need to seek the mind of the Lord and say, Lord, I need wisdom for the situation. I know there are going to be times when I'm going to have to pick up the slack for someone else. And I know you're going to be honored by me bearing someone else's burden. That's what we're supposed to do. But Lord, the command for me to bear my own load is also a command for every other Christian out there to bear his or her own load too. And you don't have to tell me names, but don't you know of someone in your life who tries to get out of bearing their own load? Don't you know of someone in your life who is not willing to take the consequences of their own actions and their own decisions? They want to pass it on everybody else around them. It's difficult to sometimes know when a person truly needs help or when they actually need a dose of the realities of life. But God can give us wisdom. It's difficult to know when a person is in a position where they've collapsed on the side of the road and it's our turn to pick them up and help them out. If they're collapsed on their couch and they always want a handout and they always want you to lift them up, well, they're real close to their refrigerator and they're real close to running water, I think they're going to be okay. If they're 5 miles from the nearest campsite, well, it's time to help out. In theory, we understand this. In talking through this, we get this. But the messiness of life and the difficulties of relationship cause us to really have a hard time knowing when to say, yes, I'm going to help you, and when to say, nope, you made the bed, it's time for you to lie in it. In those situations, you are in a process of understanding and setting boundaries in your life. In fact, the Bible is very clear. The third command, first command is bear one another's burden. Second command in this passage is bear your own load. Third command, verse 9, don't grow weary in doing good. Don't get exhausted giving and giving and giving and giving to the point where you are weakened in your own spiritual walk with the Lord. Don't do that. So there's a wrestling match that's going to happen in all of our lives between doing what we need to do for ourselves, doing what we need to do for those who are helpless around us and need our help, and then making sure we don't cross the line into weariness and exhaustion where we're no good to anybody else. Let me talk about boundaries for just a moment, and we kind of talked a little bit about this last week. Boundaries are limits that you set for yourself. Boundaries in your life is bringing yourself to a realization that there are going to be some lines that I cannot cross, because if I cross them, I'm going to be disobedient to Scripture and I'm going to get weary in doing good. Let me ask you this. Have you ever helped someone? They became a burden on your heart and you felt like God opened the door for you to help them, and maybe it was financial. Let's just use that as an example, because finances aren't as emotional as the other ways of helping people. And so they came to you and they had a need and you had a little bit of extra surplus, and so you gave them some money. And they left and they took your money and they used it and it helped them and it was a blessing and you rejoiced. And then 3 days later or so, you get another knock on the door. Hey, oh, how's it going? Great, I need some more money. Anybody? You don't have to raise your hand. You need more money. Why? Well, you know the thing you helped me with? That's all taken care of, but now I've got something else. And you know what? A lot of times it's legitimate. Now my car broke down. Yeah, you helped me pay for my rent. Now my car's broke down. And it's all good and legitimate. And maybe at that point in your mind you say, yeah, that makes sense. And so you help them again. And then a few days later, you get another knock on the door. Well, my son's birthday party's coming up, and I need money for presents and whatever. There will come a point in your life, in your thinking, where you're going to draw a line, right? If they knock on your door for money every other day or every 2 or 3 days, you may feel compelled to help them. There may be a compelling need, but eventually you're going to get to the point where you're going to say, I'm sorry, I can't help you today. Either you're going to get to the point where you say no, or your bank account's going to run out of money and your bank account's going to say no. When you draw that line, that right there is a boundary. And it's a boundary that you have to prayerfully and carefully put in place. You're not telling them what to do. You're not telling, boundaries are not telling others what to do. Boundaries are telling others what you're not going to do. Do you understand that? Boundaries is not trying to control them and fix them and change them. Boundaries is just saying, you know what? I've reached my limit. And if I step across it one more time, my financial outlay, since we're talking about finances as this example, my financial outlay is going to be so great that it's going to be detrimental to my own family. Or it's going to hinder me from giving my tithe this week, or it's going to hinder me from doing the things that I know God wants us to do. In verse 9, and I want to read this again because this is where the boundary setting comes into place. And this is not easy. It's very difficult. But Paul says, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap. In other words, when you set boundaries and you maintain health in your relationships and in your physical body, in health in your finances and health in your emotions and health in all these areas, you will reap if you do not lose heart. There is a God who rewards us for living healthy. There is a God who rewards us for helping others bear their burdens, who rewards us for bearing our own burdens, and a God who rewards us for having the wisdom to know when we have to draw the line so we don't cross it and we move into the area of exhaustion. This is the time to say no. It's not easy. It's not even really understandable necessarily. Like, you can't read scripture and know, oh, that's where the line should be. No, this is the whole idea of setting boundaries in your life is a prayerful thing. It's an exercise in trying to determine God's will for each relationship that you're in. Let me give you an example. We hear stories about missionaries who sacrifice so much to be in on a foreign field. I heard about a missionary who was a missionary to Mexico, and I think Mexico has about 136 million people, a lot of people that need the Lord. And so the missionaries who go to Mexico, they're compelled by all of the spiritual needs all around them. And not only spiritual, but other needs, poverty and work and sickness and all those things. And this missionary, he went to a convention somewhere with his other missionaries, and the speaker there inspired them all, and he told them about another man of God who would get up, and I think he was a missionary as well. He would get up every morning at 5 o'clock in the morning, and he would begin to work, and he would begin to witness and begin to let people know, hey, the gospel of Jesus Christ is so important. I'm up at 5 o'clock every morning doing God's will and spreading the love of Jesus. Well, the convention this missionary went to was just inspiring and convicting all at the same time. And he came home to his little village in Mexico where he was living and where he was ministering. And he thought, man, you know, a lot of these people around me, they get up early too. I mean, they're up before sunrise. And here I am, an American, and I go down here and you know, I'm pretty tired. And sometimes I don't get up as early as I need to. He said, I'm going to do better. He said, I'm going to get up every morning at 5 o'clock. I'm going to get out in this town and I'm going to minister to these people and I'm going to prove to them by my actions and by my example that the gospel of Jesus Christ is important. So that's what he did. First couple days he got up at 5. It's before sunrise, and by the time the sun peeked over the mountains around that little village, he was already in the town and he was trying to find people to talk to. And sure enough, the people in that village were up early too. It was like a cultural thing. They were up, they were industrious, they were hardworking, they were going to work and taking their things that they needed to sell. Everything was happening in that town, even that early in the morning. He came home and he was like exhausted, tired, but he said, well, this must be right because I made a lot of contacts today. The next day he did it again. He got up at 5 a.m. and he went into town and the next morning, and he did this for like 7 or 8 mornings. Getting up early, getting out there, letting people know about Jesus Christ. But here's his problem. He didn't change anything else in his life either. He didn't go to bed earlier or he didn't change any of those habits. He just said, it's important. I got to get up at 5 every morning. And he became exhausted. And he caught himself interacting with these people that he's trying to win to the Lord. And he was so tired and so exhausted that the best way to describe it is he became irritable in his evangelism. Have you ever seen any example of irritable evangelism? And he just didn't have the joy of the Lord on his face or in his life because his body was tired. I mean, he'd go around a corner and he'd sit down and his head would flip back and his eyes would doze off and he's like, oh no, I got to be about the Lord's work. And he struggled with this for days. And finally one day he was walking in the middle of the town. It was about 2 o'clock in the afternoon and he happened to look over and he saw on the front porch of this business establishment a group of guys and they all had their feet propped up and their heads were leaned back and they were taking a siesta. And in that moment, God spoke to him and said, hey, it's okay to take a siesta. If you're going to get up at 5, and maybe that's what he's supposed to do, you're not Superman. You're not superhuman. You can't just do all the things you always did all for the rest of the day and expect to get up that early. You're going to have to catch up on your sleep sometime. And he began to observe the culture of that little village in Mexico. And sure enough, they all got up early. And they all were hardworking and industrious, and it was really exciting. But all of them took naps. And some of them not just one time, but 2 or 3 times. In fact, he'd be talking to people, and all of a sudden they go in a back room, and they not come out again, and he'd realize, oh, they got tired, so they just went in to take a nap. They had worked hard all morning. Now it was time for a nap. Sometimes we get this wrong picture of what super spirituality is all about. Let me just tell you, every spiritual hero in history, whether it was the Apostle Paul or Amy Carmichael or anybody else, they're all human. And every single one of them needed rest. And every single one of them needed sleep. And as we looked at last week in Scripture, we saw Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah. He walked away from people who needed his help. Why? Because he was placing in his mind and in his life a value on making sure he had communion with God, making sure he had rest, making sure he was ready for the ministry that God gave to him. Listen, it's a command for us to bear one another's burdens. And if you aren't there for someone who needs you, you're missing out on a great blessing to be a help in someone's life. It's a command for you to bear your own load. And if you're not willing to bear your own load and you're too lazy to bear your own load and you're not providing for yourself and working hard and doing all the things you need to do for your family, guess what? You're in violation of a command of God. But also, if you're letting yourself go ragged, if you're letting yourself become so weary that the idea of helping other people just makes you ill, you need to take a step back and examine your priorities. You need to take a step back and determine how to establish some boundaries in your life. Living for the Lord is not a 100-yard dash. Living for the Lord is a lifetime marathon of constantly saying, Lord, what do you want me to do next? How can I help this person? Okay, I helped them. Now I got to step back and now I got to help myself. Okay, I helped them, but now it's time for me to help my family. And there's constantly going to be this wrestling match, this balancing act between the idealism of tons and tons of ministry and the reality of making sure you're caring for your own spiritual walk with the Lord and your own family. You understand what I mean? Let me give you one more example. Every fall, we have Journey to Bethlehem work days. And I'm so proud as pastor because of the work that all of you do for Journey to Bethlehem. But I just want you to know, I realize that some of you have obligations and job schedules that are very, very difficult. And I hope you know that I don't keep score at Journey to Bethlehem work days. And I'm not putting, oh, this person's been to 3, he gets a 10. This person's only been to 1, so they get a 4. No. I just want you to know, I realize you are setting boundaries in your own life with your time and your energies and your efforts. I understand, and now, I'm sorry, Pastor Mike, we're going to have no one at work days this coming fall if I keep preaching like this. I understand that there are going to be times when your schedule is just such, I just can't be there. That's okay. But I also know, and you know, the joy of working together as a team and the joy of seeing God bless our efforts together is intangible. So do you see there's a balance that has to happen here? In fact, the very next verse, the last verse that we read, kind of gives us this picture. It says this, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all. There's a phrase there, as we have opportunity, that you probably ought to underline in verse 10 of Galatians chapter 6. As you have opportunity. Listen, there will be times when you will not have opportunity to bear the burdens of someone else. Guess what? God knows that. And he has someone else, maybe right behind you, who does have opportunity, who does have the means, who does have the emotional stamina, who does have the ability to meet that need or to help that person. Let it go. Don't be convicted by it. Don't, I should have done that. Oh, I should have. Don't be caught with the case of the shoulds. There's no remedy for the shoulds. The only remedy is to relax and say, Lord, I'm here to serve you. I don't think I can do that, but I can do this. There will be times when you will not have enough money to help bear the burdens of others. I didn't realize this early on in my ministry. In fact, there were times when I gave money to things and to people and to worthy causes, and then I went and put my groceries on a credit card. So I gave money because I felt compelled. There's this need. And then I went and borrowed money so I could get my wife's list when she sent me to the grocery store. Guess what? My boundaries were out of whack. My priorities were messed up. And the stuff that I supported, the missionaries that came through, was it compelling? Was it important? Yes, it was wonderfully important, but I didn't have the opportunity. And yet I did it, and I paid for it later. That trip to the grocery store may have cost $50 that day, but by the time I got that credit card paid off, it was more like $75 or $80. There's going to be times in your life when you want to help and when there are needs around you, but you won't have the opportunity. You won't have the time at your disposal. Let me give you one more example of this. And you ladies who have been mothers or are mothers, you understand this. When you have a baby and you bring that baby home from the hospital, your life just completely changes. And all the ladies say amen. Because everything else drops on the priority list. And when that baby is hungry, what do? I'm sorry, I got to go wash the car. You wait another hour and then I'll feed you. No. I'm the husband of a mother. And I remember my priorities got completely rearranged too. I'd come home and that baby is the most important thing in our lives at that point. And listen, guys, if you come home and your wife has a new baby and she's caring for that baby and you get onto her for not vacuuming the floor or whatever, having a 4-course meal ready for you, you better watch out. And you better rearrange your priorities, or your wife's going to set some boundaries on you. Because we get it, we understand that little baby, that never-dying soul that you hold in your arms, it trumps everything. It becomes the top priority. And when that diaper needs changing, and I'm holding that baby, it's extremely important for me to take the time right then and hand that baby to my wife to make sure that the diaper gets changed. I did that for the first kid. But then we had twins. And so there were more diapers to change than my wife knew what to do with, and I got a system. I got a system in place. I figured it out. I could change diapers. Thankfully, I haven't had to do that in a very long time. But guess what? We get it when you have a baby. And listen, you mothers that have young children, nobody expects you to come to the Journey to Bethlehem workday, because we get it. The danger is later on in our life, something happens and we're like, well, what will people think if I don't show up? Well, what will they say if I don't help them in this situation? Have you ever gotten a call from someone who says, hey, my car broke down, can you come pick me up? Can you come help me? I have, many times. And sometimes I can do it, and sometimes I can't. And when I can't do it, it's really awkward. Well, I know this is an emergency, and I know we're supposed to bear each other's burdens, but I'm sorry, I can't do it right now. I feel guilty. I feel defeated in that moment. But the truth is, if everybody calls you, Johnny, plug your ears, because I know a lot of us call you when our car breaks down, but you plug your ears, the rest of us want to talk. If you are running your life from this emergency and this burden-bearing exercise and this breakdown and this, and you're just going, you're going to collapse from exhaustion, and that's not the picture of how you should function in the body of Christ. So when we understand what this passage is saying, you can't just take verse number 2 and say, that's how I'm going to live my life. I'm just going to help everybody bear their burdens. You can't take verse number 5 and say, well, I'm responsible for my own load. You got to figure it out. No, there is a balance here to saying, I'm going to live in such a way that when I can, as I have opportunity, I'm going to be involved in bearing one another's burdens. But the times when I can't, I'm going to make sure I'm bearing my own burden. So the question I asked at the very beginning is, are boundaries biblical? And I would give you two answers to this question this morning. Based on this passage of Scripture and other passages in God's Word, are boundaries biblical? Yes. It's okay to not help others when you're not able to help others. Now, you might say, that's the simplest statement you've ever declared from the pulpit, Pastor Heath. I don't know, but I've gotten this all messed up sometimes. I've tried to help others when I was completely emotionally unable, and I would do it anyway, and I would pay for it. I would try to help others when I was financially not able to help them, and I would do it anyway, and I would pay for it, quite literally pay for it. It's okay to prayerfully decide you're going to put a boundary in place and say, I'm sorry, I just don't have the opportunity to help you right now. Second thing, this is how I'll close. It's okay to not help others when they are fully capable of helping themselves. This is hard. This is difficult. But the same passage that tells us to help others is also the same passage that tells them to help themselves. And I don't know how to make those decisions for you and your life and your relationships. I just can tell you that there will be a time when it's okay to say no to someone who is not willing to carry their own load. When there's a death of a loved one, when there's a tragedy, when there's a car accident, when they're in the hospital, drop everything except for your infant. Don't drop them. Drop your schedule, drop your fishing trip you have planned, drop everything as much as you can and help. But when you're around a person who is doing nothing to help themselves, sometimes you become the enabler of the lack of priorities in their life instead of the helper in their life. That's when boundaries come into play. Boundaries are not a negative thing. Boundaries are a part of a healthy relationship with Jesus Christ that says, Lord, help me to have the wisdom to know when to help and when to pull back. And Lord, help me to know wherever that edge is, this is exhaustion and I'm about ready to step over it and I'm going to be so weary, I'm going to be discouraged in doing good. Lord, help me to find a couple steps back. Help me to say no right here. So I can be healthy and vibrant in my relationship with Christ so that I can live another day to help someone else, to bring honor and glory to God. I know that this is probably not the most exciting messages that you've ever heard. But I really believe this concept is a concept that every Christian needs to hear and understand. And this passage is a part of that concept, and it's the concept of boundaries. Creating healthy boundaries in our lives, in our relationships, and in our families. Would you stand with me this morning? Let's pray together over this truth. Dear Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the fact that you helped us when we were down and needed your help. You first loved us, and Lord, we thank you for that. And I pray that we would never lose the urgency of helping to bear one another's burdens, especially those in the body of Christ. But Lord, I also pray that you would help every person in this room to shoulder their own load, knowing that there's going to be times when it's just going to be overwhelming and we're going to have to lean on those around us. But as much as it lies within us, Lord, help us to shoulder our load so that we can have a healthy life, a healthy emotion, a healthy walk with you, a healthy spirituality that allows us to be strong enough to help others. And then, Lord, I pray that we would not become weary in well-doing, that we would not become exhausted because our priorities are out of whack, or our priorities are out of focus. Lord, I pray that every one of us would be wise in our relationships. We would be willing to help, but willing to carry our own load and willing to set boundaries where they're needed in our lives. Lord, I pray that this congregation would be a healthy congregation that meets the needs of others and takes care of all the priorities you've given to us in our own lives. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for this passage. Apply it to our lives today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for being here this morning. You are dismissed. Lord bless every one of you.